Hi, today we've got a really interesting and timely call with a good friend and colleague introduced to me originally by Mike Campbell and Michael Campbell, and this is Mike Marshall. Mike, how are you?
Hi, pretty good, Ken.
Mike is the SEO guy that other SEO pros go to when their SEO campaigns blow up and they don't know how to fix them. Mike is the guy that AOL has gone to, that IBM has gone to, that 1-800-Flowers has gone to, that the U.S. Patent Office has gone to when they wanted to train their patent examining clerks into how to analyze cutting edges of search technology. Some people talk about looking at the white papers in search technology. Mike reads and devours them, and he's pretty much the guy you go to when you want to learn SEO for real. And I want to put in a plug for him right now. Mike, of course, is going to be a faculty member at our last ever System Seminar, System 2011 in New York City. That's April 15th through 17th. But Mike also does his own very intensive, very cost-effective, very powerful SEO trainings in his home state of North Carolina. And for information about that, you can go to thesystemseminar.com/SEO clinic. That's thesystemseminar.com/SEO clinic. And I can tell you of at least two guys we've sent there. We've sent actually quite a few, but two in particular. Both of these gentlemen had businesses that were pretty much entirely dependent on SEO. And they had both done very well by their SEO. And they were both facing a shaky future because they were running out of SEO understanding. And one of the things we're going to talk about on this call is how SEO is a moving target. And they were good, but they were not keeping up, and they weren't able to find a source of information. One guy was ready to sell his company. Another guy was ready to change his model to paid traffic. They went, spent a couple of days with Mike. Again, these are very sophisticated people. These are not beginners or people that didn't know anything. These are people that were making, big money running the SEO for their own businesses. Anyway, they ran out of gas on their own. They found Mike through us. They went to Mike's training, came back, and now both their businesses are back on track with SEO traffic, bringing in the business. So, hey, Mike, coincidence for us, and this is amazing. It made, the front page or one of the top pages of the New York Times last week. Google, again, changed its approach to SEO rankings and threw everybody into a tizzy. was this really the big news that the New York Times made it out to be, or is this kind of just more of the same of which has been going on now for years and years?
I think it's a combination of those two things in this sense. It's something somewhat new in the terms of the effect that this algorithm has. It's been a while since they've had an update, one single update that has had so much of a kind of a earth-shattering consequences, and that by their own calculations, it affects 12% of searches, which is a lot. That's a lot of searches that are affected at one time by one single update. It is kind of old in the terms of what the update is trying to do, and that is trying to better isolate what they would call low-quality content. That's something that Google has always been working on, and they have updated things quite a bit. What some people don't know is about half of the spam team for Google was actually assigned to different projects for a while, and it wasn't until late last year, I'd say maybe November or December, that those folks were actually reassigned back to spam. And so a lot of people have gotten kind of lax because it didn't seem that Google was very aggressive, and so a lot of people were caught off guard by this. And some of it is somewhat new because it's a combination of utilizing some things they've learned from looking at a lot of sites by hand, and the Google spam team kind of looking for patterns of what they see as far as good content, bad content, low quality, good quality, and then merging some of that information into their to their algorithm.
Gotcha. So interesting. So there was a stretch there where the spam police were on a different assignment.
Right.
Interesting. So what would be a typical site or a typical publishing method that got targeted?
Sites, or I guess to look at it one way, it hits pages specifically, but because of the way it hits pages, it can affect a site as a whole. So looking for pages, for example, that have they're looking at the ad to copy ratio. So you take your page, load it in the browser, and see what's above the fold. And when you look at what's above the fold, if you got a lot more ads than regular copy, then that's going to be deemed a low-quality site. If you have enough pages that are deemed low-quality, then they will also affect your site as a whole. Even the pages that are high-quality pages will suffer in their rankings as a result. No one quite knows what the ratio is, like how many pages of your site you have to have low-quality before it affects the whole site, but there's definitely an effect there. Another type of page that gets hit pretty hard by this this algorithm, or pages that are considered to be kind of thin in their copy. So it's just a bunch of words, but it's not really any substantive information engaging the visitor or anything like that. You end up with pages like this that are scraper sites, where they just kind of pull paragraphs from different pages on the internet and kind of just plop it all together, just to have some copy there. To support ads or AdSense or things like that. So it's ad to regular copy ratio. It's whether or not it's thin quality. And also they're looking at pages to see whether or not it's authoritative. Now that can get somewhat subjective. You know, how important is this information? How useful is this information? But one of the things that they look at is signals in social media or other people talking about this content. And, of course, I'm sure they are also looking at where some links are coming from. So if it's like a standalone page, it's just sitting there with, you know, boilerplate copy and a bunch of ads, then you're going to get hit pretty hard.
Gotcha, gotcha. So it sounds like people that have been gaming the system by putting up really thin content solely for the purpose of, you know, generating either, ironically, AdSense revenue, because Google makes money, I guess, when people go to those pages and click.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, Google understands, though it seems like maybe briefly they forgot because they put all their spam people somewhere else. Google really can't, you know, as great a, you know, juggernaut as Google is, if they go for a long stretch with bad search results, people will start looking elsewhere.
Yes.
Yep. In fact, I seem to remember from that article in the Times that on a satisfaction level of people that use Google versus people that use Bing, people who were using Bing as their default were finding greater satisfaction in search results than Google. And if Google's got its head on screwed on right, then that's got to just scare the bejesus out of them, because that's their whole business.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that you know, Google really makes no money. If you take away the AdSense and AdWords business, Google makes no money.
Right.
They've got 10,000 PhDs and gourmet luxury lunches prepared for free for employees and all kinds of great stuff. And it's all based on those little four-line ads that appear on a countless number of websites.
True.
Mike, I'd like to
go ahead.
Yeah, so it's actually a very thin business. Mike, I'd like to talk with you about your approach to SEO. So whether somebody – first of all, obviously we'd love for everyone to come to the system and you know, take the course, the entire course, and meet all the experts. But I do want to point out again that Mike – If SEO is important to you, you know, if your business depends on it, you should definitely look into and strongly consider taking Mike's full training individually, you know, which is a separate deal. It's thesystemseminar.com/SEO clinic, and you'll get all the information about that. But whether you, you know, come to the system, whether you go study with Mike, you know, especially, or whether you just take some pointers away, what I'd like to do is talk with Mike about his approach to SEO, which is pretty unique in that for just the quality of the clients that he has and the fact that people in the industry look to him when things get dicey. So you developed a suite of tools to help you do what you do, and it's not one of these deals where you created some mythical tool that sounds good. You actually, there were specific things that you were doing in your own SEO practice, things that you were teaching the people at IBM and AOL and 1-800-Flowers and other places, and you took these methodologies and put them into tools. And what I'd like you to do, if you would, in the call today, is talk about the tools you've developed, what they do, and why those functions are so important for SEO.
Okay. The suite of tools that I have is a suite of three tools. One deals with key phrase research, another with competitive intelligence, and another with content relevance. The key phrase research tool called Sniper is designed to help you isolate really good windows of opportunity as far as key phrases you should target. So you start off with the tool by inputting some of the search and demand numbers that you get from Google. So you use Google's free tool to give you those numbers so you can know who's searching on what particular key phrases. And you take the output from that and you put it in the Sniper. And what it will do is it analyzes three things in combination: the commercial value of the key phrase, the trend in traffic for that key phrase, and then also the demand and kind of a surface level test for competition. It takes all three of these components and then comes up with a window of opportunity index so that you can figure out which key phrases are most urgent for you to work on so that you don't miss an opportunity that's coming up, and so that you make sure that you put emphasis on key phrases that have high commercial value and therefore are more likely to drive sales or whatever your call to action is, and then looking at the competition for that key phrase too. Because when you're making a decision like that, those are generally the three most important elements when you want to prioritize which key phrases you go after and what order. So that's what that tool does, and it gives you an output in a kind of an Excel spreadsheet, so it's easy to read. And then it also gives you an estimate of the value of the traffic for the various key phrases. So if you were to target certain key phrases based on the demand and based on what I like to call the market value of that key phrase in looking at Google AdWords, it tells you what you would have to pay to get that same traffic that you could get from organic. So that's what the key phrase tool does.
And that's called, and you call that Sniper.
Sniper, yes.
Now, I would just ask a question about this. I assume that tool would be useful for people that are also buying traffic, that are buying specific keywords and key phrases.
Yes, it is. It's useful for both organic and paid search.
The reason this is a really, I mean, I think people that do SEO and buy traffic instantly understand how important this is, but, you know, we do a lot of open calls, and we have people that are just getting started, or people that are just looking at SEO seriously for the first time. And what some people don't realize is that, yes, quote, you know, SEO is, quote, free traffic, but it's not free in terms of, you know, effort and attention. And also there are markets and niches where there's either, you know, just you know, really high competition, which you just need to be aware of if you're going to commit yourself to a business. You need to know the level of competition you're facing. But there are also other markets where SEO just isn't really going to pay out. You know, there's just not enough traffic.
Right.
And the traffic's just not valuable enough. And this is the kind of thing that you want to find out first. It's not something you want to find out after you've, you know, put your hopes and dreams into something. This is sort of like a due diligence you want to do up front. And then I think the other thing that's important to emphasize is that keyword research, I don't know, I'm just going to, you know, take a stab here and say that's about 80% of the game. In other words, if you are out there flailing around going after this keyword and that keyword phrase, and you know, you might even have a seemingly have a lot of wins, but if you haven't done your research and don't know the value of the keywords and phrases you're going after, you may end up with a whole lot of nothing. Whereas
yeah.
if you've done your research and using a tool like Sniper, you know exactly what the prize targets are, and you're focusing on that. So this may seem like keyword research that's sort of you know basic kind of thing. Well, it's as basic as the ground you walk on. So so that's Sniper. So what's the next tool, and what does that one do?
The next one is called Scout, and it helps with your content relevance. So what it does is you give it a key phrase and a page that you're targeting with that key phrase, and it will help you figure out how to best support that target key phrase so that the search engine really sees your copy as relevant to that key phrase. So this is going to be one of the other important elements in the quality of your copy. How relevant are you to the target key phrase? And what the tool does is it uses natural language processing to kind of go through and figure out what supporting terms are most helpful and give them to you in order of importance, also looking at your competitors, because there's a competitive aspect too. You need to know what the important supporting terms are and use them better than your competitors. So this tool does that for you, so that you get a very simple output, which is just the list of terms in order of importance, and the words that are missing in your copy are highlighted in red, so you know exactly what words are important that you should add. And you get a score from 1 to 100, 100 being the best. You get an indicator of what the lowest score is from your competition, the median score, and the highest score, so you know where your score falls with the rest of your competition. And you just add the words that are bolded in red to your copy, and you can recalculate your score to see your score go up or down based on how you add those terms.
Wow, so you have a term, you know that it's important, you generate some good content for it, and then would you run the text through the program?
Yep, and you run it through the program.
And it shows you exactly where you're weak and where you're strong relative to other competitors?
Right, yeah.
Wow. And that's called Scout.
Yes, that's called Scout.
Now, I know you did some work for AOL. I'm not sure how much about it you can talk about, but I imagine that this kind of functionality was something that they were very interested in. Because I don't know if people know, but AOL has gotten into the content farm business in a sense, and you know, generating, they have the model now to generate lots and lots of content to attract traffic and therefore create advertising revenue. So I imagine they're using something like this.
Right. So they realize how important it is to have, first how important key phrase research is, to target the right key phrases, and then making sure the copy is relevant. I mean, the great thing is that they have, you know, thousands of copywriters. So unlike a content farm, they're actually, you know, working on trying to generate as much original content as they can. But they also know that it's important to look at what the competition is doing. So they know that having this kind of treatment of this kind of natural language processing treatment of your copy is really important. In fact, 1-800-Flowers is a big user as well, and they've actually given me permission to say that they believe that it is critical to important rankings to use a tool like Scout to treat their copy.
Well, this solves a problem that's been going around, you know, since almost the beginning of search engine days, which is, do we write for the human being, or do we write for the SEO, for the search engine?
Right.
You know, and it's not necessarily been terribly clear which
you know, what do? You know, if you write for the search engine and get rewarded and your copy doesn't really make sense to human beings, which was occasionally the case in the old days, that's not good. And then if you write something that's good for human beings but the search engines overlook it, that's not good either. So
right.
Scout gives you the tool to actually you know, analyze the effectiveness of your copy. You know, you can assess the effectiveness of your copy as writing from human being to human being. What's not so obvious is how the search engine is going to respond to it. And I think the other thing that's really interesting is, again, you do this competitively. So in other words, it's not just in a vacuum. Oh yeah, this is good, and it follows the parameters, and you're good
right.
to go. It's this is good. It follows the parameters, and here's where you rank within the other people going after this keyword phrase.
Yep. And it's
wow.
also like the like Sniper. This is actually good for organic and paid search. There are a lot of people who use Scout to increase their quality score of their landing pages in PPC, which, as you know, has an immediate effect on your bottom line. So it used to be that it wasn't that big of a deal, but you know, and it's now really important to have a landing page that Google thinks has a good quality, and part of that is the relevance of the copy on your landing page. So a lot of people use Scout and actually have an immediate impact on the quality score, which impacts, you know, their minimum bid.
So in other words, you could by improving the quality of your content using Scout, you can actually buy traffic from Google cheaper.
Yes.
Wow. So that's Scout. So we got Sniper, which helps you figure out which keywords and keyword phrases are worth going for to a pretty high degree of specificity. You actually know how much traffic there is and what it's worth.
Yep.
And then we've got Scout, which helps you look at your content to make sure that when you're creating a page to go after a particular word or phrase, you're, you know, doing it competitively within your niche, and you know, doing it as best as you possibly can. You're getting that feedback before you post, not after. Great, and then I know you have a third tool that's part of the suite.
Right, and this tool is called SEO Recon, and it is the competitive intelligence portion of the suite of tools designed to help you make the most important decisions and optimization. So when you're making changes to improve your search engine visibility, you're going to be looking at typically two types of changes: on-page factor changes, which is just making pages on your page, copy, meta tags, things like that, then off-page factors, which have to do with the types of links that you have coming in. And the difficulty is trying to navigate through all the information out there to figure out what should these elements or components look like. You know, what does my title tag need to look like, and the length of my copy, and the placement of my key phrases, and what kind of links do I need, and what does the link text need to look like, and how do I make this competitive? So generally, there's a lot of trial and error in traditional SEO, and you kind of tweak from month to month, and after about 5, 6, or maybe even 7 months, depending on how difficult the key phrase is, you kind of come across a solution that helps you get the kind of traffic that you need with just the right changes on page factors and just the right kind of links. What this tool does is it does a whole lot of analysis using artificial intelligence and helps you figure out quickly where you're weak, where you're strong, and exactly what changes you need to make, instead of just trying this, trying that, just throwing everything up against the wall and seeing what sticks. So it looks at your competition, and it figures out and gives you a prescription for what the most important factors are for that key phrase, and then it tells you where you're weak or strong, so you know exactly which things to focus on, because that's the thing that saves you the most time and prevents losing opportunities, knowing exactly what you need to work on. So you can major in the majors and minor in the minors. A lot of people spend way too much time working on the wrong thing that will not actually change the picture for them as far as their rankings.
And this is what I think my SEO savvy, experienced clients were facing. They had learned some methods and protocols that worked pretty well, and they were in, you know, one was in a fairly competitive niche, one was in a zero competitive niche, and then his marketplace caught up with him, and they kind of weren't, I think, experiencing a false sense of competence, you know, not taking it away from them, but basically anything they did worked because nobody was doing anything. right. And then when suddenly you've got some people trying different things, now it's not just a matter of throwing stuff at the wall and assuming that it's going to work. It's now you have to be very precise about what you throw up at the wall.
Right.
Now let's talk about time savings. Like you mentioned, it can take, in the old way, it could take somebody months of literal trial and error. You do this, you sit back and see what happens, you wait, then that didn't work, you try something else, you have to wait. What does this do to that time frame? What does, and tell me the name of this tool again. It's SEO?
Recon. SEO Recon.
SEO Recon. What does this do to somebody's time frame? You know, if they're using there's 20 things I should do and I'll try each one and see which one works versus SEO Recon, which tells you, okay, for this particular keyword at this particular time. And I imagine this is all time dependent too. It's, you know, you may run the program 6 months from now and get a completely different answer because the landscape has changed.
Yes, because every, you know, for each landscape or, you know, the set of competitors that are targeting a specific key phrase is basically the results that are returned for a search. Each of those pages you can look at as competitors, and what each of the competitors does changes the rules of the game for what's important and what is deemed good enough to be rewarded with, you know, high visibility. So if someone learns something new and they get really good links coming in that nobody else found, then the links that you had that were really good and maybe got you above the fold aren't good enough anymore because your competitor got better. And so you really have to keep tabs on, you know, what your competition is doing, and it will vary from landscape to landscape. So, for example, with one former client of mine who's in a top Internet Retailer 100 list, they experienced a problem, a drop in rankings from the first to the second page, and were trying to tweak for about 7 months to get back
wow.
to the first page. And that's it was for, you know, a pretty competitive key phrase pet supplies. And for those 7 or 8 months, the needle did not move. Fortunately, things didn't get worse, but no improvement at all in 7 or 8 months.
That must have cost them a fortune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's huge. And so what happened was they became a client of mine, and as a result of implementing my methods and my tools, they were able to get back on the first page within a month. And so that's the difference between, you know, 7 or 8 months trying your hardest and not getting anywhere, and 1 month just knowing here's what you need to work on, just work on this. And 1 month getting not only getting back to where you were, but a better position than what you had. I have another a client who his business was actually sabotaged by a disgruntled former employee, and he suffered in the rankings for about 2 years. He tried to fix what had gone wrong and couldn't do it, and he got some help from a couple of different SEO companies, and one of them wasn't able to help much. Another actually made things worse. And getting close to the 2 year mark, he was ready to throw in the towel. He was actually ready to close up shop. Business was all online. And then he became a client of mine, and using my methods and tools, we were actually able to get him back on the first page in just a couple of months. And it literally saved his business. And it was all just because of knowing what he needs to focus on and focusing on just that.
Wow. Well, you do quite a bit of that. You do quite a bit of that last chance turnaround.
Yeah.
On SEO. Let's talk about beginners. Let's say, because we always have people that are interested in getting started or learning about the business.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was just getting started in internet marketing, I mean, one thing for sure is probably the most important, let's put it this way, if online marketing, if internet marketing, if you intend that to be a big part of your mix and you've already selected your niche,
mm-hmm.
then step one has to be serious keyword research, because that's going to determine your SEO, that's going to determine your pay-per-click, it's going to determine all kinds of stuff. What other, and I'm not putting you on the spot because we didn't really talk about talking advice for beginners, but what other advice would you give to beginners, somebody who's, you know, maybe they have some business experience, they have some marketing experience, they know enough to put a website up. What would you recommend that they do? Let's say they don't have a niche. Do you have any recommendations for how to analyze niches to see if they're internet worthy?
Yeah, you could actually use keyword research to figure out what kind of market you might want to be in. So if you've got a number of different options you're thinking about, different industries, different verticals, different types of products or services, you can actually look, I would say use something like Google Insights, which is free to use, to see what kind of demand there is, how many people are searching for those products or services or tools, and you can look at it by geographical region. You can look at it to see whether or not there's a rise in demand, so an increasing interest in those particular key phrases. And a lot of people actually use this, especially, for example, affiliate marketers, to do kind of their own market research to figure out, what niche am I going to get in? Well, I can see that there's a rise in searches for, you know, particular key phrases related to different industries. And that's actually a good way to actually start if you have no idea even what niche to get in. Look out there and see what people are looking for online.
Gotcha. And all that can be done with common sense and the free Google tools.
Yep.
And I guess would part of that also include, once you find something that looks promising, then checking out the websites of people already in the niche and seeing what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. It's important to keep in mind that you can never go into this game of doing business online or internet marketing with a kind of a myopic view of only looking at your own page. A lot of people go through the whole process never looking around them to see what's going on. So they don't do any key phrase research. They just think up what keywords they find important, and they figure, well, those are the key phrases I would use, so that's how I would search for it, and that's what I'll put in my copy. So that's how they do their key phrase research. And then when it comes to writing the copy so that it's compelling, so that it, you know, will convert a visitor to a customer, they also don't look at what anybody else is doing. They figure, well, this would appeal to me, so this is the way I'm going to write it. And when it comes to SEO, they'll usually follow some kind of cookie cutter or boilerplate set of steps that they found somewhere online and think that will be good enough. And in each of those cases, they're not looking around them to see what's going on. And they don't realize that the search engines are looking around them to see what's going on. And it's not just what you did, but what did everyone else do? And are you doing it better than they are?
It's funny because really this is not only true for search engine marketing, it's really true for all marketing. There was a great advertising genius, David Ogilvy, and he insisted that his staff, he had about 100 offices all over the world, he said never examine an ad just on a clipboard sitting by itself. Always embed the ad into the publication that you intend to run it in. you know, just paste it up. This is when people literally cut and pasted things. Because you have to see how your ad appears in the context it's going to run.
Yes.
Nobody takes your ad and clips it and goes to a, you know, a room and locks the door and just, you know, marvels and studies, you know, your ad without interruption. It's absurd. It never happens. And
right.
It's the same thing with the internet, you know. People have, and in the internet, it's the challenge is 1,000 times bigger. But the positive thing is, Mike, I know you've seen a lot of this. You've probably seen a lot of small one and two and, you know, pretty modest sized enterprises build up pretty significant businesses because they've committed themselves to doing the SEO part right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So there's stuff to learn. It's definitely not, you know, it's not something you can, you know, can master in a minute or a few hours. But my experience, and you would know better because you see this every day and you see even the so-called SEO experts, that this level of knowledge that we've been talking about on this call is still pretty rare.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You know, there might be a few niches where, you know, you're dealing with, you know, lots of very sophisticated people. I imagine, you know, if you go into insurance or, I guess in the old days, mortgages, weight loss, things like that, you're probably going to run into some pretty sophisticated people. But in the average business, and certainly in a lot of the off-radar businesses, of which there's millions of lucrative off-radar businesses, this people don't even have a clue. They don't have the first glimmer of understanding of how all this works.
Yeah, and I'm often surprised sometimes, even with not just, you know, beginners, but large companies with entire SEO teams often are lacking in some of this information. For many people, some of these concepts are known. They know that some of these things are important, but they don't know how to do them.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, there's not only a lot to learn, there's a lot to unlearn. And that tends to be the hardest part, the unlearning. there's a lot of bad information out there. And much of it is not bad because the people who write it don't know what they're doing. It's bad because it's old. And
right.
A lot of people who, you know, look at it, they don't know that this information actually isn't really accurate anymore. It doesn't reflect what the search engines are doing. And so you can be applying recommendations that are 2-3 years old and not know it. Now, some of the things that are 2 or 3 years old are still good, but you have to know which of the old stuff is good and which of the old stuff is not applicable anymore. And that's what is kind of the Herculean task for many people. There's just way too much information out there.
And this is what you take care of for them. You know, for instance, something that you pointed out at the last system is there's a whole world now of academics and college professors and so on who are writing pretty involved scientific papers on search technology and that these ideas migrate and find their way into Google. And Google, you know, picks the ones that work best and adopts them, and that you're actually tracking all this at the level of those scientific papers before Google even evaluates them, and then you're actually seeing what Google's picking up. You're kind of able to see what Google's about to do long before it becomes obvious to everybody else because of that.
Right. It's a matter of understanding what goals Google has as far as their organic results, what directions they're moving in to try to make improvements. And if you have a handle on that, you can actually do pretty good at, you know, predicting what's going to be important, what's going to last, and what isn't.
And that's what you uniquely provide, and this is why we're so glad to have had you last year in Chicago and this year in New York, the last big system seminar, April 15th through 17th in the New York City area. And if somebody is, you know, if somebody knows that SEO is a really critical part of their business, I think what Mike teaches is so important. that I'd recommend that you get in touch with him directly. You can do that through the systemseminar.com/SEO clinic. And I know you do, you've got your tools, you do trainings. Are you still providing direct services to companies? I know you were, I know it's a pretty labor intensive thing.
Yeah, I do that as well. Everything from small and mid-sized business to Fortune 100 companies, actually. So it helps me keep my my skills sharp. It's very easy if you're into, you know, developing tools or even in training. You can keep doing that for a long time. But if you're not in the trenches, actually helping people make these kinds of decisions where it impacts their bottom line and there's actual real risk and reward there at many different levels, then you can easily get disconnected from what really works and what really matters.
I've seen that a lot. I've seen people that have had, you know, they've hit upon a good SEO formula. They've built something up. They've positioned themselves as experts, and then they start teaching that method, and then they are no longer using SEO themselves. They're now involved just in teaching it,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you find people teaching stuff that is no longer working. It's outdated. And so Mike is in a completely different business. He's in the ongoing research business, the ongoing tool development business. And again, when professional SEO people and big companies that have huge SEO staffs want the best and run into challenges that they can't personally untangle, Mike is their go-to guy. And so this April, New York City, Mike is going to be joining us speaking on SEO, of course. Some of our other speakers, I think you should know about David Antley. David has developed, he was with GoTo, and he worked with Mark Cuban at Broadcast.com. He worked at the Houston Chronicle when they were the first big newspaper to go online, one of the very first. This is a guy with deep resources and deep experience. He's developed a credible and excellent automated system for managing AdWords campaigns of, you know, if you have a certain budget threshold per month, it makes more sense to turn it over to his system than it is to do it yourself or even work with an agency. So David's going to be talking about that, which is a huge breakthrough. We're going to have Glenn Livingston, speaking of research, you know, Glenn, one of the great internet marketing research guys, really sets the standard there for niche finding. Greg Davis, who does some really cutting edge, pushing the envelope stuff on CPA, and just every year he just gets better and better and better at it. Ben Hunt, who has long been considered one of the top web designers in the world, he's been at it since '94. You can Google him and learn about his book and his Save the Pixel and his new book called Conversion. And then we're going to have some super pros from the direct mail world, Mike Fishman and Brian Kurds, both of whom have made the transition to internet marketing. And when they were doing direct mail, were literally responsible for the mailing of billions of physical mail pieces, which is quite an expensive thing. And then we're going to have Josh Aston, who is the guy who keeps Lexington Law on track. They have 700-plus employees. And Josh, that'd be a good guy for you to meet, Mike, by the way. Hmm. And Josh generates the leads that keeps those 700 people fed and their families. So
wow.
This guy knows his stuff really well. So you can see Mike in the context of all these other really sharp, cutting-edge, top-of-their-game internet marketers at the last System Seminars, the last time we're going to do one of these big, huge events. If you've never been to one, you're really missing something. If you have been to one, just think back on the huge difference it's made in your career and your income. As you can see, I used to run 100-yard dash, and the most important advice besides getting out of the blocks really fast was run through the tape. In other words, don't slow down when you're hitting the finish line. Speed
right.
up. And that's what we are doing with this last system. I have a feeling this one is going to be our best ever, and people that miss it are going to really regret it. If you have an urgent SEO need, if you're spending a lot of time and money on SEO and it's important to your income, I would say get in touch with Mike now, the systemseminar.com/SEO clinic. Mike Marshall, I am thrilled and grateful that you're going to come back again, and I'm especially glad that you're going to be at our last, final, and probably best seminar ever. I have learned so much about SEO from you. You're somebody who I can totally send my most valued customers to with 100% confidence that they're going to come away way better off than you found them. And we'll see you in New York, and it's coming up soon.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Great. And for everybody that wants to look into information about the System Seminar, just go to thesystemseminar.com.